This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Hillary Clinton's newest book, and the first one to be published since her devastating election loss last year, is simply titled, What Happened? A number of leaked excerpts from her book, which is to be officially released on September 12th, show that she blames Bernie Sanders' candidacy in part for her failure. Clinton writes, quote, his attack caused lasting damage, making it harder to unify progressives in the general election and paving the way for Trump's crooked Hillary campaign. She added that Sanders, quote, got in to disrupt the Democratic Party. She also accused Sanders of making promises to progressives that he wouldn't have been able to keep as president. Such sentiments appear to be indicative of the deepening split within the Democratic Party between establishment pro-Wall Street politicians like Clinton and vocal minority stalwart progressives who want the party to live up to its stated ideals. Whether Clinton's criticisms of Sanders are taken seriously by the party as a whole has repercussions for its political future in next year's midterm elections and beyond. My guest is Liza Featherstone, editor of the book False Choices, The Faux Feminism of Hillary Rodham Clinton. She has also written the Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, and she's a contributing editor at The Nation magazine. Welcome to the program, Liza.
Thank you, Sonali. It's good to be with you.
So this book is, meant to be Hillary Clinton's explanation and maybe an attempt to move on from what happened last year. It certainly baffled probably a majority of the nation, including Trump supporters, that she didn't win. What do you make specifically of her, and we'll play a clip from her reading the book, what do you make of the fact that she says she wants to take responsibility, but then seems to blame Sanders and others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you get into a fight with your boyfriend or girlfriend and they're like, I'm really sorry I take responsibility for the things I did, but it's really your fault because X, Y, and Z. And, you know, that's not really a proper taking of responsibility, you know. I mean, and I think we all recognize that. It's a very, you know, it's not that she necessarily owed the world an apology. People lose elections all the time. But you're correct to pick up on, you know, there's a dual, I take responsibility and also blame everybody else thing going on, you know. But that seems to be her personality, having a like unattractive personality is not unique to Hillary in politics. We certainly have the worst personality in chief as president right now, you know. So that's not unique to her. But I think that, as you touched on in your intro, it does touch on the broader ways, a broader sense in which the establishment of the Democratic Party really does blame Bernie Sanders and the Bernie-crats and anyone who voted for Bernie Sanders for the problems facing the country now, instead of looking in the mirror and asking, well, what was wrong with our message, and you know, how did we fail? How have we failed both in governing, and how have we also failed in reaching people?
And we can go through some of those specific accusations she made against Sanders a little bit later. But I want to play an excerpt of Hillary Clinton reading from the introduction to her book, What Happened. She basically shared an exclusive excerpt from the book with Morning Joe, and they featured it on their program. Here's Hillary Clinton herself, actually, as part of the audiobook, reading from her new book, What Happened.
I don't have all the answers, and this isn't a comprehensive account of the 2016 race. That's not for me to write. I have too little distance and too great a stake in it. Instead, this is my story. I want to pull back the curtain on an experience that was exhilarating, joyful, humbling, infuriating, and just plain baffling. Writing this wasn't easy. Every day that I was a candidate for president, I knew that millions of people were counting on me, and I couldn't bear the idea of letting them down. But I did. I couldn't get the job done, and I'll have to live with that for the rest of my life. In this book, I write about moments from the campaign that I wish I could go back and do over. If the Russians could hack my subconscious, they'd find a long list. I also capture some moments I want to remember forever, like when my tiny granddaughter raced into the room while I was practicing my convention speech, and what it was like hours later to step on stage to deliver that speech as the first woman ever nominated by a major political party for president of the United States.
And that is Hillary Clinton reading from the introduction to her book in an excerpt that was shared with Morning Joe. So here she basically says that this, you know, is her own introspection of what happened in the election, and that it was very, very difficult. And of course, someone can sympathize with what she went through. Some of it was absolutely some of the accusations from Trump were absolutely uncalled for. But of course, the criticisms from Bernie Sanders are the ones that she ends up singling out. Liza, let's talk about what she specifically singled out in her book. Here is one excerpt, a photograph of a page that was leaked onto Twitter, where she quotes a Facebook post that someone sent her of a hypothetical conversation between Bernie and Hillary. Bernie, I think America should get a pony. Hillary, how will you pay for the pony? Where will the pony come from? How will you get Congress to agree on the pony? Bernie, Hillary thinks America doesn't deserve a pony. Bernie supporters, Hillary hates ponies. And Hillary, actually, I love ponies. Bernie supporters, she changed her position on ponies. Hashtag which Hillary? Hashtag which WITCH Hillary? Headline, Hillary refuses to give every American a pony. Debate moderator, Hillary, how do you feel when people say you lie about ponies? She obviously loved this this particular analogy. How do you respond to this?
I mean, I just really think that that, you know, if she, here she is billing herself as a feminist and a progressive, and she's essentially making fun of somebody for raising the idea that working class and middle class Americans could enjoy the same kinds of social democratic benefits that have been enjoyed in many other rich countries, healthcare, childcare, free public higher education. You know, these are things that other countries with resources like ours have been able to provide to their citizens. And that, you know, disproportionately benefit women even more than the rest of the population, that they benefit everybody. And, you know, as a feminist and progressive candidate, she's basically making fun of that agenda, you know, and saying, promising everyone a free pony. I mean, that is just, I find that incredibly condescending and also incredibly tone deaf.
One of the things that she got wrong was simply not understanding how you win over Americans. If she truly believed every American should get a pony, to use her analogy, she should have come out and said so, and then followed that up with, but we do need to worry about how to pay for the ponies, and that's a battle we can fight. But she, as a politician, as so many other establishment Democrats have done, start with the premise that we'd all love to have these wonderful progressive programs, but since we can't afford them, we're going to settle for some middle ground that Republicans proposed 2 years ago. And that's what Americans were sick of, right?
Yes, that is what people were sick of. And what she revealed, and again, she is not alone in this. This makes her, not a uniquely horrible person, but a member of the establishment Democratic Party and a member of More importantly, our nation's ruling class. And so as a member of those groups, she is very out of touch. And she spent a lot more time hobnobbing with people in the Hamptons than talking with waitresses in Ohio and significantly Wisconsin, where she didn't go at all, who probably would have told her that they thought that having health care or free college tuition was a bit more serious than wanting a pony. I think that sometimes for very rich coddled people, the demands of the masses seem, just sort of frivolous or silly because it's hard for them to understand why people really need these things.
Speaking of her being part of that class of people, we've heard that she is charging, or at least her publisher or somebody involved in her book tour is charging thousands of dollars, or up to thousands of dollars, for people to get tickets to see her at her book readings. Actually, this was part of her Canadian book tour. I even saw what it would be like to, if I wanted to go see her in, say, Vancouver this December. The premium tickets, the platinum tickets, cost $3,000. $3,000. And even the cheap tickets were like 70, $80, which I went to see Bernie speak earlier this year in Southern California, where he toured with his Our Revolution book, and it was not nearly that expensive. And I don't think he had premium seats. So it's interesting, right? Right there, you sort of see the difference between the two candidates. Liza, I want to quote from another part of her book that was leaked to on Twitter, where she basically blames Bernie for Trump's crooked Hillary term. She says that some of his supporters, the so-called Bernie bros, took to harassing my supporters online. It got ugly and more than a little sexist. When I finally challenged Bernie during a debate to name a single time that I changed a position or a vote because of a financial contribution, he couldn't come up with anything. Nonetheless, his attacks caused lasting damage, making it harder to unify progressives in the general election and paving the way for Trump's crooked Hillary campaign. Is that fair to blame Sanders for Trump's campaign calling her crooked Hillary?
No, I really don't think it is fair. I think that that actually Bernie Sanders was very kind of almost courtly in the politeness of his attacks on Hillary. He did not personalize it in this way. He did not call her names, and he never did that. And I'm sure that if Hillary were really pressed on that point, she would have to admit that. Because that's really a very that's really very misleading. Trump called her insulting names. He called her Crooked Hillary because she has had issues with corruption, and because Trump calls people names. Like, that's the kind of like 7-year-old maturity that he has. I mean, he had a nickname for Ted Cruz, Lion Ted. What did he call Jeb? Sleepy or sluggish Jet? I can't remember exactly, but it was something like that. I mean, he's going to zero in on what he thinks a person's weakness is and make that into a nickname because that's his personal style. It has nothing to do with Bernie Sanders. I will say, Bernie Sanders did bring out the critique, not just of Hillary, but of the mainstream Democratic Party, that it was too tied in to the interests of big donors and too detached from the needs of ordinary working Americans. And yes, I mean, Bernie Sanders certainly did popularize that critique. I certainly didn't see Trump running with any of stealing any of Bernie's agenda or any of Bernie's substantive critique of the mainstream Democratic Party. Yes, so I don't think this is fair at all.
And the other thing, by the way, that where she sort of said he couldn't name a single time that I changed my vote because of a financial contribution, it usually doesn't work like that. The quid pro quo is not so specific, right? I mean, we know that she got paid a ton of money for her speaking events on Wall Street. That should tell us where her unconscious lie. But yeah, it would be hard. Anybody would be hard pressed to specifically point out where she changed some specific thing. Because if we could, then that would be certifiable bribery or corruption. The other aspect of this whole discussion, which I think it's really important for us to talk about now, is that Democrats have their eye on 2020, and how seriously Hillary Clinton's book gets taken by the party determines whether they're going to have a political future or not. Already, for example, we've seen Bernie Sanders is standing on the single-payer healthcare bill as a de facto litmus test or unofficial litmus test for Democratic frontrunners make inroads. Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren have now signed on to his single-payer healthcare bill in the Senate. And, you know,
doesn't
that kind of prove that in pushing the party to the left, he actually has been able to make progress?
It certainly does. It certainly does. That there is a constituency for the kinds of demands that Bernie is making on the party. Bernie's campaign brought that constituency out, brought that activist base out, and he's continued. He's continued to push these issues, and I agree. I think he is having results, and the fact is that Hillary represents the part of the Democratic Party that doesn't want a change, that doesn't want to accommodate these kinds of more progressive demands and hear from the grassroots. I think the Democratic Party is going to be a lot more successful in as much as it can adapt to people's higher expectations. I think Bernie gave people higher expectations of what government and politics and politicians and even the Democratic Party might be able to do. And I think somebody like Hillary, belongs to the era of lower expectations and is deeply committed to that. Yeah. The ruling class would really like people to continue to have lower expectations. That's always how they want it to be. And so that's going to be this tension within the party.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see when her book officially is out on September 12th. You and I might be able to get a hold of the whole book and have more to say. Liza, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali. It's a pleasure.
My guest is Liza Featherstone, editor of the book False Choices, The Faux Feminism of Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's written other books that include Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart. She's also a contributing editor to The Nation magazine. We've been discussing Clinton's criticism of Sanders in her new book. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.